Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Jessica Outram. Each week we visit with authors of all kinds and sometimes editors, teachers or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what prompts them to write, give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us. And we're very pleased to have Jessica Outram with us today for a return visit. Welcome, Jessica. Jessica Outram has a multifaceted life. She's an author, editor, and publisher, as well as a teacher administrator, presently the principal of Corbourne Public School. She has a passion for the theatre and has written several plays and performed in many more. In a blog she wrote in September, she described some of her experiences as a student of theatre production at Trent University and avid theatre-goer. She concluded that Ontario has no shortage of talented theatre-makers, choice of shows and theatre audiences. Each performance I went to was well attended. In an age of Netflix and ubiquitous entertainment, I'm thrilled to see so many people going out to watch live theatre. Good news, as she's been rewriting her play, Once Upon a Rocking Chair, for production in May 2017 by the Northumberland Players at the Firehall Theatre in Coburg. Jessica will be directing this show. You've written in so many genres, Jessica. Before we get to your theatrical life, tell our listeners a little about some of your other writing activities.
Well, first, thank you so much, Felicity and Gwyn, for having me here today. It's so kind of you. Yeah, I have found that I've been writing in a lot of different genres over the past 20 years, I think, I've been writing. I do enjoy writing poetry. I like writing fiction, but it seems my favorite so far has been creative nonfiction and playwriting. Those would be my top two. So I've had articles published in magazines and online. My most recent publication online in a magazine was the Ontario Principal's Register, an article there. I've also published a couple of books, people that I think I've come and talked to here before. From the Cottage Porch, which was an anthology featuring writers from across Ontario, and The Writing Spiral, which was a book about writing life that also featured a number of writers from across Ontario.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Of which I think you both contributed. Yes.
Yes, we are contributors.
Yes.
So, and you're a regular blogger. Why do you enjoy this so much? Is your blog aimed at a specific audience?
Oh, I have found that since I moved into school administration, blogging is the best. Because it's kind of like poetry. You can do it in shorter bursts. And I find for me right now, because my writing time is limited, I can't write every day. I'm lucky to write every week, that I can put a blog post together and I can put it out there and kind of get that immediate connection with an audience. And then the next time I sit down, I can write again. So I'm focusing my time on the writing rather than the business of writing, which can be fairly time-consuming. The blog started back in 2007. I got hooked on it right away, and I didn't know what I wanted it to be, though, and it's called sunshineinajar.com, and it's kind of morphed into this nothing and everything all at once. So it's kind of whatever I want to write, I put up on the blog. And there's been a couple of posts that have gotten a lot of attention that I'm quite excited about. And one of them was about one of my ancestors that even led me to be invited to be part of a documentary that will be on the Discovery Channel in 2017 based on a blog post. I learned that my grandfather may have met Tom Thompson based on a blog post. Somebody had contacted me with information. So I'm finding that as a writer, blogging is pretty amazing. I'm connecting to more readers and having more unique and interesting experiences through the blog than I am through any of the other forms of writing that I've done the past 20 years. And you get to meet people too. And like post I wrote about my ancestor, the most amazing thing is that now there's over 100 comments So to me, it's not about the comments, and they're not talking to me. They're introducing themselves as relatives. So there's people all over North America who are doing the same research that I was and finding this ancestor. And then they're commenting and introducing themselves. And then that post has even gone on to be included in some curriculums in Michigan. And it's just amazing, just the connections that you can make using technology.
Right.
I think if I had to choose what the focus of, it's all about learning, what I've learned, people that I've learned from, books that I've learned from, experiences that I've learned from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's always interesting. And as you say, you deal with quite a range of,
yes,
of topics. So tell us as well what you find so engaging about the theatre, both as a playwright and a performer.
And I've written a couple of blog posts about this as well, because I find that the theater, there's two pieces here. There's the art of creating theater, and its beauty, I think, is in its collaborative nature, because, you know, the actors can't do it on their own, the director can't, the technicians can't, that you really need this team, this community to come together and to work toward that common goal of putting on a show to move an audience to feel or think something. And then when you add another layer of that, of community to it, I think it's even more powerful, because, you know, working among and getting to know the theater community in Northumberland, what has amazed me the most is this, the breadth of the community. I can't keep up with going to local shows. The scope, the talent, the many, many volunteers, and this is something that I'm quite passionate about, because what is more wonderful and beautiful and lovely than a group of people in your own community working really hard to create something for you, the people in their own community. Mm-hmm. So the theater mm-hmm. itself is wonderful because of its collaborative nature and the storytelling and the intimacy of it. But I also really love the community nature of it. And I couldn't be more honored to be part of the Northumberland Players, and I'm just still, I think, in shock and stunned that my play will be on stage in 2017.
It's an exciting moment.
Yes.
Yes. So please read from your work for us.
Sure. So I brought today, I thought I would start with reading a blog post.
Lovely.
And this is quite a personal story, but I thought that I would share this one because the themes in it are similar to the themes that I'm exploring in my play.
Oh,
so often as writers, we know that real life and fiction, the lines can be a little blurry sometimes and it all kind of messes together. So this is the non-fiction real life story. And then maybe a little bit later, we can look at the play, which has some of the fiction around the same themes. Celebrating 40 with a solo hike in Presque Isle Provincial Park. I'm done waiting for Prince Charming. In March 2015, I turned 40. For 5 years, the Big 4-0 haunted me with its ominous implications. It seemed like a season change was coming and the days were about to get shorter and sadder and lonelier. Aging wasn't the issue. It was all about the story that wasn't working out the way I'd planned. A large stone tied to my ankle, slowing me down, making things harder. For 20 years, I searched and waited for Prince Charming and a little baby cute as a button to enter stage right. Well, dear Prince, I'm done. I will ride my own white horse into my 40s. I would still love to go to the ball, but the waiting is over. It's time to make plans, to claim a place for myself because I deserve one. I'm letting go of not feeling like a grown-up because I haven't had a wedding. I'm letting go of not feeling like a woman because I haven't had a child. I'm writing a new story, changing the mythology that has hurt me and so many other women who feel like they aren't enough because they are single. And it's not the prince's fault. The whole kingdom, including me, is to blame for keeping the story alive, for suggesting that single life can be shameful, for thinking that just because we want it all, we should be able to have it all. We can still want partners and children, but if they don't come on schedule, we need to carry on and live our lives, really live them, and without apology, without compromise. Maybe this is a story about learning patience, about releasing entitlement, about accepting the present, about being grateful for what I have instead of longing for what you have. Once upon a time, there was a girl who loved the outdoors, hiking and camping. She was fearless and strong and happy. So for my 40th birthday, I wanted to go to Presque Isle Provincial Park to reconnect with the woman I was 20 years ago. When I couldn't find a friend to join me, I gave up on my birthday wish. I let the fairy tale into my head, and its characters confirmed I was indeed a spinster now. But she lives happily. I don't like being a sad spinster. The beige fleece slipper didn't fit. So I changed. I made a decision to write a new story. I like this 40-year-old woman a lot, and she deserves a good life. So in July 2015, I took control of the plot, banished the sad subtext, and planned the epic birthday trip that was becoming more than an excursion, a symbol of my future. So I shed my spinster cloak and summoned my inner dragon. I couldn't sleep the night before Presque Isle. I was too excited. I woke up early and packed the car. I arrived at 8:30. The park was quiet. I spent 4 glorious hours hiking along some of the trails, walking along the beach, and picnicking on the shore of Lake Ontario. It was better than I dreamed. And I learned 5 things. Number 1, I am brave. I only screamed once, but to be fair, the 2 chipmunks nearly ran across my bare feet. Number 2, I am connected. The hardest thing about being single is that sometimes I feel disconnected. Alone on the trails, on the beach, or by Lake Ontario, I felt deeply connected to my sense of self, to nature, to God, and surprisingly to all the people in my life. This amazed me. I expected to feel anxious, not peaceful and calm and grounded, and oh so happy. I was beaming the whole time. Number 3, remember to bring bathing suit. Number 4, I belong. Usually when I go places on my own, I feel out of place. People don't even realize the faces they make when they see me at plays or in restaurants. But whenever I passed others in the park, they said hello and smiled. There was no question in their expressions that I was misplaced. There was no pity, no curiosity, just hello, good morning, what a gorgeous day, we all belong here. Number 5, I will be back. Oh yes, and I will be going to more parks and on more hikes. 40 truly has become an awesome beginning. Cue Katy Perry anthem of your choice. I can create my own sunshine. And the moral of the story: we need to change the conversation. We need to move the focus away from the ballroom and the dance cards and the gowns. Rather, let's talk about the woods, the lake, and if we need to, climb mountains, alone or with others. Celebrate every woman for who she is as an individual. Ask about her next adventure. Encourage her to take risks. Listen to her feisty spirit. Find a place for her in your ideology if her life looks different than yours. Take a moment to put on her shoes and realize it's likely she has many pairs.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Now we'll take a short break.